Friends, this is what it's all about, isn't it? Once was lost and now am found. I want to pray that God would inspire us to be those who take the message of Jesus to others, that they would be found in Christ. Lord God, we pray for your encouragement this morning. We know that often each of us finds evangelism and witness and mission difficult. And so we pray, Father, for the inspiration of your Spirit and your Word this morning, that we together in small groups as a church would make a difference for you. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, God is growing his kingdom. And just this week, I thought, rather than just about evangelism, that I would think through some of the people that have come to this church and heard about Jesus and been saved. And I'm just going to run through a list of names. They are not all the people that I know of. That doesn't include any of our children and our grandchildren who have come to faith through the ministry. I'm just talking about other people outside us. And as I read each name, don't try and necessarily guess. You may be one of those people here this morning. You may think I'm only using first names, not surnames. But I just want to throw names at you just to remind you that God is in the business of changing lives. And I said I haven't included all of them. Once we're lost, now found in Christ. And can I say, some of these people don't even come to this church any longer, they go to other churches, but saved. Carmen, Carmel, Terry, Daisy, Mick, Bridget, Margaret, Simone, Rhonda, Gabriel, Sharon, Robin, Peggy, Shakib, John, Deb, Lauren, Arthur, Barbara, Nick, Meng, Patrice, Nilda, Paul, Angela, Rick, Haley, Laura, Anusha, Bill, Gordon, Kelly, Pam, real lives, real people who are on the way to hell and destruction, plucked out of there by the grace of God, transformed. That's just some of the ones that I remembered this week. And this morning I added another couple, and I can add another couple and another couple. People were converted because someone was praying for them. Somebody invited them to a youth group, maybe to a Discovering Jesus course, maybe to an outreach event like Flourish or Men's Breakfast, to a Girls Brigade service, a baptismal service, maybe an English class that we used to run, maybe invited to a home group and people have been converted through our home groups, maybe a craft group. Someone left their comfort zone and spoke about Jesus and brought their friends to Christ. And we've been thinking about the ministry of small groups the last 4 weeks. And friends, I want to remind you that your small group is not simply for your small group. Not simply to look at one another and think, well, we're going to care for one another and build a loving little Christian community. The purpose of any Christian community is to explode and impact others for Christ. That's why a lot of groups will always talk about having an empty seat in your group. An empty seat means it's a place where someone else can join, and then ultimately you multiply into more groups, and you're to be open and available, depending on the type of group you run, to invite newer people in. And a couple of years ago, we had a newer person, not yet a believer, join our home group. Within a year, she'd come to faith in Christ, is now a servant of the gospel through this church. But it began by coming into a Christian community, exploring Christianity, and then coming to faith. So we need to be churches who think, yeah, this is ultimately for our teaching and our encouragement, but a church, even if you can't include new people, unbelievers into your group, because you're structured, but you encourage one another to move out in Jesus' name, maybe doing some things together. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We're told that we go, but not in our own strength or power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Notice that, you will be my witnesses. Not you might be, or if you try hard, you will be. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, he says to the apostles, and to the ends of the earth. If we're going to do that, as a church and as home groups and as individuals, there are a number of things we need to do, and I'm just going to run through reasonably briefly some of these key things that you already know. Then at the end, I'm going to show you or put before you a number of ways in which the gospel is going out and can go out. Firstly, we must embrace the truth that lost people matter to God. We must embrace the truth, not just think about it every so often, embrace it, own it, and live it out, that lost people matter to God. For God so loved the world, not Nawi Baptist Church, not just my family, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not come to condemn. The world was already condemned. It was about saving. And I like Luke 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So as I think about my own life, as I repented at the age of 15, as I think of the people that I read, the names that I read earlier, over one sinner who repents, there's a great party going on in heaven. And somehow we as a church need to be able to rejoice in that as well. And we heard this morning that in Nepal, a lady, 20 years praying for her husband, has come to faith in Christ. And let me tell you, when that took place, there was a party in heaven. I want to ensure that through the ministry of this church, the angels get to celebrate, don't you? I mean, do you want to take away the joy of the angels? I mean, there's a party, there's a celebration when more people come from death to life in Christ. And the question we ask this morning is, do people matter to us as much as they matter to God? Because Christ gave his life for the lost. Do we pray for them? Do we see our neighbours, our families, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers and our sisters, our workmates, our craftmates, our golf buddies? Do we see them as in desperate need and that Christ can bring the answer? Do we care as much as Jesus cared, gave his life? Secondly, we remember again the biblical truth that a terrible judgment awaits the lost. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. More than that, Revelation 20 says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We love to talk about the love of God and the mercy and compassion of God, but here we have the judgment of God and God's hatred of sin and evil and the holiness of God that sends people to an eternal torment because they are sinners and rebels. Now, I've been reading this book by John Piper called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. It's a plea to pastors for radical ministry. And it's really written to those in leadership in churches. Let me read something he has to say on this whole area. It's entitled, Brothers, We Must Feel the Truth of Hell in Our Evangelism. It says, I know for myself that in order to be a true shepherd and not a hireling, in order to grieve over the straying lambs, and in order to summon with tears the wild goats, I must believe in my heart certain terrible and wonderful things. If I'm to love with the meek, humble, tender, self-effacing heart of Christ, I must feel the awful and glorious truths of Scripture. Specifically, he writes, I must feel the truth of hell, that it exists and is terrible and horrible beyond imaginings forever and ever. I must feel the truth that I was as close to hell as I am to the chair I am sitting on, even closer. I must feel the truth that God's wrath was on my head. I must feel in my heart that all the righteousness in the universe was on the side of God and against me. Says, brothers, you have heard it said, do not think such negative thoughts. Do not preach about negative things. Do not look back. Speak of the blessed love of God and look for the new creation. But I say to you on the authority of Scripture, remember, remember, remember the horrid condition of being separated from Christ without hope and without God on the brink of hell. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He expands on each of those points. And I wonder whether we feel the truth of hell as we think about the lost people around us. I confess to you that so often I don't. I'm so conditioned to think of love and mercy and the good things, and cope in life by not thinking of the judgment of God upon sinful humanity, because it's easier that way. We need to feel the horror of hell. We need to remember that Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I spoke to a person this week, and I used to come to go to church, and I said to her, just after a funeral, I never met the person before, and I said, "Well, do you go to a church where you now live on the Central Coast?" And she said, "I know I don't." She said, I'm a Baptist and a Buddhist." I never had a chance to explore further in the middle of another conversation to ask how she could be both those things. To say you're in Christ, and now to follow another God, another religious system. Jesus says he is the hope of the world. And friends, at the funeral on Tuesday morning, I'm going to remind people, with all the passion I have, with all the feeling that I have, with all the truth of the scriptures that I have, that it is only in Christ that you can spend eternity with him. Only in Christ. That's why we urge you on Friday to pray for the nation of Bali. Yes, that the place would be cleansed of evil spirits, and the Spirit of God would impact the men and women in that place, because it is only in Christ that you can have eternal life. Jesus is the hope of the world. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So therefore, friends, if that is true, that God cares for the lost, and therefore you and I ought to care for the lost, the first thing we must do, now I can't say this more strongly than what I'm going to say now, the first thing we must do is begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. You cannot change anyone's life. I cannot change anyone's life. But as we call out to God, God delights to take our prayers and use them to transform people's lives. 20 years of prayer we heard this morning for someone before the person came to Christ. Again, let me refer to you to another section of this book written for pastors. I'm going to refer to this tomorrow night when I speak to the college graduates going to pastoral ministry. I speak to them tomorrow night about 100 commencing students, or 50-60 commencing students. I was told 100 graduating students tomorrow night. And how many commencing students? I want to say to them, pick up this book and be challenged about radical, Bible-centered, Christ-centered ministry and all that you do. But he has a chapter on prayer, and I shared it with our deacons just recently. Just let me pick a couple of bits out and why we pray. It says, Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Goes on and says, A.C. Dixon writes, "When we depend upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend upon education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do." Do you like that? When we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. Says, "I did not become excited when denominations or churches react to the lack of growth by merely adding a new program. I know that the reason so few conversions are happening through my church is not because we lack a program or staff. It is because we do not love the lost and yearn for their salvation the way we should. And the reason we do not love them as we ought is because such love is a miracle that overcomes our selfish bent. It cannot be managed or maneuvered into existence. It is an astonishing miracle." It says, "Examine yourself. Does it lie within your power right now to weep over the spiritual destruction of the people on your street? Such tears come only through a profound work of God. If we want this work of God in our lives and in our churches, there will be agonizing prayer. God, break my heart." I choose the word agonize carefully. It is the word Paul used in Romans 15, verse 30. "Now I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together, to agonize together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. With such agonizing together, God may grant tears. Without those tears, we may shuffle members from church to church, but few people will pass from darkness to light." It says to pastors, take one of your days off and go away by yourself and pray about how you should pray. Say to yourself right now, God, help me to do something radical in regard to prayer. But friends, it's not simply a call to pastors. It's a call to each one of us. Say, God, will you just do something radical in my life in regard to prayer? I'm going to feel the situation of the lost. Help me to feel the love and compassion of Christ as well as simply knowing it in my head. So what will we pray for? We will pray for boldness. You go away, you pray for boldness. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Friends, we are all afraid to witness. Well, most of us are, most of the time, aren't we? Just pray for boldness. Say, Lord, I don't have the courage. God, give me the courage. Pray for opportunities, Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And someone rang me this week and said, listen, my mother's had a heart attack. And I urge you to pray. I got to mention her earlier. Shirley Garrard has been coming to church maybe 6 or 7 or 8 months now. And sits quietly and has had a heart attack. And we think there's some infection also which is impacting her mind. And I went to see her. She's so excited to see me, but her mind's a bit all over the place. But she did say in the midst of that, and I'm not sure how real it is because of the confusion in her, she said, I didn't believe in God, but I found God. And started speaking about her daughters and so on. Friends, I don't know where she's at exactly, but I'm praying that through opportunities to witness to her and meet with her, that she will, in those opportunities that God provides, that she'll come to a certain faith in Jesus Christ. She told me she was 79. And I said, it's never too late. It's never too late to come into a right relationship with God. Pray that it will spread rapidly. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured just as it was with you. Friends, I read all those names at the beginning of the service. Wouldn't it be good? Now, it's all in the sovereign plan of God to be able to read those names out every week, every month. So God, as we prayed passionately, as we took risks for God, as we moved into our community, God, you are so good. You're saving people. We've got another name and another name and another name. Pray that it will spread rapidly. That's the call to pray that type of prayer. Pray that we might declare it clearly. Colossians 4 verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, Paul says, as I should. So we have to know the message to proclaim it. And finally, pray that God's Spirit might make people responsive. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's a sovereign work of God in the lives of men and women. We call upon God to draw them. And in Acts 16, verse 14, we read these words. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That's what we pray. For boldness, for opportunities, that it would spread rapidly, that we declare it clearly, and that God would make people responsive. So if we start to do those things, or we continue to do those things, we will reach out in a multitude of ways. Let me just run through some ideas of how God can use you and God can use me. Firstly, in our Sunday services. Friends, we have the privilege in Australia that spiritual seekers, religious people, people who are not yet Christians, come to our services on Sundays. They come with family, they come with friends, they come simply because they feel like they need to discover God because life is not meaningful where they're at, and they come here. Most weeks, there are people who are not yet believers. That's why it's so important that our welcoming is Christ imitating. That we look around, we welcome new people, and we love them, we encourage them, we invite them home for meals, we invite them to our small groups, we invite them to discovering Jesus' cause. We give them a Bible, we give them tapes, that we truly embrace and love them, let them experience Christian community. And therefore, at the end of each service, what we ought to be doing here is looking around to see who's here, who we don't know. I see some friends who are new, and a guy over there that's... I get it right, Silvio and Sheila. Okay, they're new believers, but they're from another place. You may not know them. So after the service, I'd hope at least 10 people would go and look after them and say hello, and they've been meeting people over the last couple of weeks. And I can do that in other places because I recognize the people who are new, maybe here for the first time or second time. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But what I'm saying, church, if we are the church, See, if someone walks into my home, I haven't come to my home for an event, now walk through, I'm going to talk to them. I'm not just going to talk to my friends and watch those new people walk in and out of my house observing us. That would be rude, don't you think? That's why I came to your house, I walked through and people were talking to themselves, but they didn't look around and nobody said hello to me and nobody offered me a tea and coffee. So I went and got one by myself because I saw where it was and nobody offered to sit down with me. So I just stood on the corner watching authentic Christian community. Friends, this is our home. This is our family. When new people and often unbelievers come, we need to make sure that we're authentically Christian. But there are regular activities as well, and children and youth and young adult and men and women and crafts and seniors, all types of ministries that people come each week. We have opportunity to share Christ. We have specific outreach events that we run and target to draw people in. We have baptism and dedication services where many non-Christians come. And we have opportunities to befriend them and love them, present Christ to them. There's children and youth ministry, opportunities to read with needy children in schools who cannot read at Ngawi Public. The school says, come Christians and help us educate kids. Just listen to them read, display the love of Christ and see where that will go. Scripture teaching in primary schools and in high schools. Creative hanging around with young kids on a Wednesday or Thursday lunchtime with Rob and Garlic, a few others, just to play games, get to know the children and the staff. We have a website, friends. A lot of people find our website. You know, if you type in Baptist Church Sydney, Ngawi Baptist comes up first, most times. Something is in, I mean, it's the mercy of God. Somehow, whoever set up our website, they find us from America, from Colombia, I found your church. I said, why? And then I tried it. Baptist Church, Sydney. For some reason, ours came up first or fourth. God knows that we know how to look after them, right? So I said, well, might as well go to Ngawi. They think we're in the middle of the city. They think we're the biggest church. People all around the world. Foolish they are. But I mean, that's our website. Gets them in. And I was read of a church at Willow Creek. They have a life-changed library on the website where you can tick a box, have people's testimonies and stories. I just thought, we need to develop that. Some of the testimonies and stories of people come to faith, as well as looking a gospel outline on the website to say life-changed story. Hey, you want to hear people's stories and have different stories come up. People click a button, so-and-so was lost, is now found. This is how God changed their life. Just an idea, I just got this week and I was just researching, God, what else can we do to enable people who go to our website to hear about Jesus? Maybe putting up some answers to tough questions on there as well. Food hampers. We give food hampers to the struggling. We want to move beyond simply food to them to build authentic relationships. We want to offer a parenting course again. We offered it a couple of years ago, but advertise it in our schools and community, have people come in and do a parenting course. We're thinking about a marriage course put out by Alpha that some churches are using to draw couples in who want to develop their marriage relationship, and we present Christ in that way. We want to link to some of the local festivals and fairs in our community, and the two local ones that we think probably will suit us is Riverwood Festival in October, November. We want to build a team that will go down to set up a stall, do free face painting, give it teas and coffees, whatever. We are exploring the possibilities to put us out there in the community. Okay? And the Festival of St. George is going to be run at Olds Park, first year last year, and that's April the 6th. We're not sure whether they have resources to input into that at this stage, but we're going to go and check it out and see what they do. So in 2009, we could take a team down there. As thousands come to have rides and to watch dances, Christians are going to be in there. Friends, we are saying we now must go as well as invite people to come. We have a developing Asian minister in this church, and I'm gathering some of the leaders together soon to say, how can we further reach the Asian community that is all around us in this community? And we're going to use our Asian believers who come to Christ to try and reach others. They're already here. Easter Ministry 1824s are going to go down to Riverwood Shopping Centre in a few weeks with hot cross buns and some books of the case for Easter and a book by Max Licardo in a Riverwood Shopping Centre and shopping strip. They're just going to be there and try and hand out materials, build relationships, talk to people. A liquid group is our 25 to 39s. They're going to prepare some Easter hampers for 6 Housing Commission residents just down the street here that we have ongoing contact with and try and share Christ with them. A young adults team is going to Surry Hills Urban Mission in April for 4 weeks, provide food, opportunities to talk to homeless people on the streets around Central Station for 4 weeks, 4 nights. We're looking at visitation of homes in the communities, something else we may do as we start planning forward. But friends, there's a new housing development down there. We're going to put a package together for all those who move into the new housing development. Maybe a Jesus DVD, maybe a Bible, maybe a brochure about our church. We're going to knock on the doors and say, hi, welcome to our community. We've been waiting for you to come to bless you. Dialogue dinners, 8 and 24, are going to put a dinner. That's a dinner where you invite a speaker to a dinner in a home, gives a 10-minute presentation, then people discuss it. They do it on university quite a bit. And our home groups, we're urging our home groups to consider running barbecues or parties for families and friends, to explore ideas of golf days and tennis days and whatever it happens to be, to talk to people. Friends, when I was on holidays in January, one of the ladies in my group invited her sister along, who was up there with us, came to dinner on the final night. Sitting opposite her, and she discovered I was a pastor. Then she started to say, you know, I need to come back to church. I need to connect with God. You know, I used to have all of that, but I said, why do you need that? She said, you know, my life's not going too well at the moment. I said, you know, anytime you want to talk, we're happy to talk further. But we need to be mixing and having our friends, our Christian friends, mixing with other friends so we could love them and serve them and share Christ with them. Friend, those thoughts, I just throw them up so you can think and pray. You may have another idea. You have another strategy, some other way in which we can go into this world and see Christ glorified, people saved. May God bless you and inspire you and give you thoughts and ideas and passions, because Christ is the only way to heaven, and we want to see people on the way to heaven. Father God, thank you for the gospel message that brings us life. Lord, help us to feel the reality of hell and judgment, and give us a passion and a love for the lost, our family members, our friends, our neighbours, people we just meet on the street. And Lord, help us as a church to move out together in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.